Yeah, Ryan's kind of running the show.
Okay. I just did that a bit.
Ryan Keener. Come on down.
Okay.
Da 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 da.
I think that was the cue.
That's the cue. Okay. Yeah. In 5, 4, 3.
Roadside Attraction. October something, 2020. 2020 Vision.
You have entered the event horizon of the post-information age. Even if you thought you were 100% data-driven and certain of your certainty, welcome to Roadside Attraction. We've got stories and songs, a giant ball of twine, collection of shiny objects brought here by a murder of crows, a haunted algorithm, and the accumulated wisdom of a 2,000-pound groundhog. I am the voice of said groundhog. Mark Jeffers is the voice of Mark Jeffers. Here he is now. He's our leader in the post-information age.
Well, I'm only your reluctant leader. I guess sort of a misleader, you might say, but that's misleading too. I mean, now you would think that a leader should not be a misleader, but show me one who isn't. And anyway, we don't all live in the same cognitive age. There are plenty of optimistic small business people stuck in the 90s and lots of old hippies who still think it's 1968. Now, whole countries still rely on farm-based thinking. There are still undiscovered tribes in South America that have not yet invented music. All the many things you know about, they cannot understand because they live in a different cognitive age. Now, not everyone understands how that works, but if you understand it, that's because you live here in the post-information age. Now, therefore, you should probably be able to guess that some other people live in an even more advanced age than we do. And they know things that you don't understand, right?
If that makes sense to you, you should see an exhibit right in front of you with a sign that says, Birth of Music.
Oh, hell, let's go in.
Chance to hold on tight and and midnight song will find us soon. Hold on, hold on, but just hanging on another day is closing in and
Mini Bingo, everybody. I'd like to introduce the lead singer of Mini Bingo, which doubles as the Roadside Attraction House Band, Matt Byanski. Matthew, how's it doing?
Hey, Mark! Drinking beer!
Can you introduce the rest of your band for
Hell
us, please?
Hell yeah. We got Don on the drums. Yeah. MRC on the bass. Red on the guitar. And my name's Matt Hart, singing, you know.
His name is still Matt.
You know.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you guys, man.
Oh, shit.
You're listening to Roadside Attraction, brought to you by the Future Works, Cognitive Outfitters for the Post-Information Age, and publishers of the Post-Human Goods and Services Catalog, and by
Hi again, y'all remember me? Or maybe you don't, because hell, it's really hard to remember anything these days. So let me just say, I'm Demogene. I work at the packing plant by the river, and my job, my mission in these dark times, is to help you solve problems you don't even know you got. And one way we can do that is by causing that problem for you, and then letting you know you're not okay, and then solving your problem with some product or process or financial swindle that we already know about and you don't. So what's your problem? That can be a tricky question sometimes. In recent years, people have worried themselves silly about losing that last 2 pounds. They've drilled holes in their head and planted hair there. Whole industries have sprung up around implants and cosmetic reconstructions and urgent enhancements and all sorts of other corrections to deficiencies and shortcomings that our colleagues in marketing have been able to sell to you people because, God love you, you are dumb. But dude, it's a new day. The sun did not rise in California. The sky just turned a hellfire color, and the smoke from that caused air quality problems all the way to Chicago. We've had so many hurricanes this year that we ran out of names. Now we're calling them Alpha and Beta and Delta and such. We're months and months into a pandemic that's getting worse, and now it's flu season, too. Nothing makes sense. Democrats, we're saying prayers for Donald Trump. And when you look into the future, all you see is campfires. Well, bad hair days don't seem so bad in 2020. So let me ask you again, what's your problem? Well, dude, you need to be stocking up on food. Take it from Demi and the meat industry, that's a fact. It's science, and only a fool will fool science. Another insight from the meat business I can share with you is that we're short-staffed and we're out of money, and most of our employees are sick, and some of those lazy bastards even stayed home from work. Now, usually the hard part about business is to create demand. That's why all of the finest minds and the most creative people on the planet work in marketing. But now times are tough, so those arrogant assholes were the first people we fired. We don't need them now. There's plenty of demand. That's a fact. You need to be stocking up again. But supply is a problem now. We've got a big demand and a small supply. We need a new product suitable for the times, but we don't have any smart people to dream one up. And we don't have no working people to make it, so we're going to have to rely on excess inventory. I'm sure you're all familiar with our frontline product called Mostly Meat Jerky Squares. It's just what it sounds like. It's a square piece of meat jerky. It's good. It's got chaw, baby. But let's do a little experiment. Picture that yummy meat jerky square. You got it? Squares. Now, turn it 90 degrees to the right. What is it now? It's still a meat jerky square. Now, go 90 degrees to the left. Same thing. But now, try this. Let's turn it 45 degrees either way. Just half of what we did before, and what do you get? Now, it's a diamond. Diamonds are the most valuable thing in the world, and that's why we're now selling Mostly Meat Jerky diamonds that you can pop into your mouth and forget about all the bad things going on. Of course, there will be a price increase now, because now that those jerkies are diamond-shaped, most of our loyal customers will just accept that without complaint, because God love them, they are dumb. Did I tell you need to be stocking up on food? Yes, I did, and you know it's true because it's science. And also because, damn, man, look around you. Make America eat meat again.
Dates on Mostly Meat products are not valid. They were only put there to get you to throw away perfectly good jerky so you would buy more. Mostly Meat diamonds are mostly chemical preservative, so you can safely keep them in the trunk of your car for years and still enjoy a delicious chaw, no matter what happens to the planet. So that brings up the question, how do you tell a diamond from a square?
Well, they say women think more about diamonds. Do they have special insight into that question?
I suppose it depends on how you look at it.
Or it depends on the way you hold it.
Or you could just lean a little to one side.
Now, we're going to bring up our bass player out front for a star turn. Marcia Cornwell is a diamond in a sea of squares. Marcia, it is your stage, buddy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You have to short the cable. All right, this song is straight out of Jackson, Mississippi. The waters, but sometimes barely. She didn't have a good life. At times seemed so hard. All she had was Jesus, and at times seemed so far. Have you seen? Have you seen? Miss Nelly. Have you seen Miss Nelly? Here's another story about little Miss Nelly. She called upon Jesus when the help was failing. She didn't have an answer as she struggled to be so hard. She beat home with Jesus. Now she struggles no more. Have you seen little Miss Nelly? Have you seen little Miss Nelly? Here's a little story. Thank you very much.
Marcia Cornwell, everybody.
Thank you very much.
So, Marcia, before you go, that first song, you said it was from Mississippi.
Yes.
Tell us more about it. Who wrote
it? Well, this originated from, I actually wrote it for my mom, which which is pretty close, Charlotte, North Carolina, Mississippi. So she was one of those southern old-time women that, you know, on the farm type thing. So that's where that song came from.
Heck yeah, and that second song. You wrote that as well?
Oh, yeah, Friends for a While. Yeah, you know how sometimes when you're in high school and you lose contact with some of your best friends?
Uh-huh.
That's where that song came from.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Thank you, Marcia. Yep. Thanks.
You are at Roadside Attraction, somewhere between the Hall of Mirrors and the rebirth of macroscopic perspective, on the grounds at Roadside Attraction, located at the Yellow Cab Tavern in Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, likely to be the home of the United States Space Force. We keep the Roswell aliens and their children here.
In a cheap motel in Fairborn.
Welcome to
Dayton. Now, see, back in the old country, we kept our poets on the small stage. But the old country caught on fire and the small stage burned down. Now, there's been some discussion of whether or not we will require licenses for poets in the next country. Now, like so many things, it sort of depends on the outcome of the election. But between now and then, we have our friend, Bill Mooney, to enable the backward connection.
Bill Mooney, everybody.
Woo! Yeah.
Can you lower this a little bit, Mark? Can you lower this just a bit? I think that's good. This poem is called "Hope Is Where You Find It." Throughout this world laid siege by fear, the crafty politicians leer, conspiracies of power and greed bleed the masses while the steed of war snorts and drools outside the door. Scenarios parade like plays, manipulating lives and days, while conquered peoples bow to pray, all faith lost. What's left to say? Unless, beyond these days, the atrocities return to roost and fester in their parents' souls, eating out abysmal holes, returning terror to its womb, the power-hungry choosing doom, and sucked through deed into the tomb. Hope is where you find it.
Thank you, Bill. All right, folks. Here, once again, is Mini Bingo.
To call my
I've been traveling around all this time.
Mini bingo, everybody. All right, folks. The end of 2020 is nearly upon us. And with that comes a chance to reflect on the mistakes we made so we can change according to our new updated standards to become better people next year. Now, that is assuming there is a next year. Now, this term, reflect, is often associated with mirrors. Now, we've never been able to view our true selves with our own eyes, but the looking glass is the closest gateway we have to doing so. Now, that said, there doesn't seem to be a switch to turn off all the screaming, so we might as well remove all mirrors from homes and as quickly as possible. Now, there's already an effort underway to look through mirrors other than our own, and here is an example of that. Scott Millsop's Messages from Midway.
Giant garage sale. It was a beautiful day outside, and it was such a quiet day at Uncle Mac's barbershop that I was forced to entertain myself by spinning around on my newly inherited barber chair looking at old pictures. I found an old batch of pictures in a drawer in the very messy back room that Uncle Mac left me, but even that turned out to be not much fun. It was just a 4-inch stack of pictures that turned out to be an insurance inventory series. Just dozens of poorly composed and indifferently lighted photographs of everything in the barbershop. most of it was long gone. We're talking about pictures of boxes of combs. Yikes, it was dull. So I went for a drive on this beautiful day, and I saw a sign which had an arrow pointing up the street and said, "Everything must go." Driving further up the block, I was surprised to see that the sign referred to a garage sale being held at the very nice home of my old bachelor friend, Uday. I had not seen him in a long time, and I felt a strange twinge of guilt that I had neglected our friendship. I noticed that there was a realtor's sign in his yard with a strip attached to it that said, "Sold." I stopped along the road among the other cars parked there, and I waved to Uday, and he came to see me as I got out of my car. "Hello, my friend. It is good to see you. Please, come inside. We will have some tea. If the teapot is still here, everything must go. Please, take everything that you like for yourself. No money between friends. Everything must go." Now, this was very peculiar. Uday was well-established in Midway. He had a solid career as a counselor and an administrator in the city nearby. He was a representative of the international community on numerous boards of directors. I had always known him to be a meticulous and scholarly man, somber and determined. He had a passion for learning and an insatiable curiosity. He was a knowledgeable collector of beautiful objects, particularly stone carvings and delicate porcelains, which he carefully displayed with pride in his home. Now, they were arrayed on tables in his driveway, and he was saying to strangers, "Yes, it is a beautiful piece. I hope you will enjoy it. Please, just take it. No money." People were marching into his yard like ants carrying away his treasures while he smiled. If I knew Uday to have a fault, it was only professional one, and he sometimes became too deeply involved in the helping role, and he took burdens upon himself, and sometimes became frustrated when he could not reach his clients. He always let them take too much from him. When I saw what was happening, I thought he had gone too far. "Uday," I said, taking him by the arm and leading him off to the corner of the yard, "do you know what you're doing here?" "No, my friend. For the first time in a very long time, I do not know what I am doing. It is so refreshing. Do you like this small statue? It is exquisite and ancient, but it has gone unnoticed." I said, wait a minute, stop this. You're going too far with something. Did something happen?" "Let me explain this. You must not worry. Nothing has happened, but I understand now that I must allow something to happen. Like you, I was thinking that life is the sum of experience, and through discipline, we may create ourselves and determine our fates. But we may be changed by fortune or misfortune. We may react without reasoning. So you think something must happen to make me give away all this that I have worked for. But I am telling you this, nothing happened. But something which should have happened did not happen. When a child is born, it begins to breathe. It takes milk from the mother's breast. The mother makes the milk. They are together. Life is continued. Neither of them learned this. They awakened to this. A child can understand language before it can speak. Before it can speak, it understands the possibility of speaking. There are many examples. Childhood is a time of many awakenings, reading, tasting, running, competition, and cooperation. Later, there are other awakenings. We awaken into sexuality. We awaken into responsibility. We awaken into spirituality. We become ourselves. Or perhaps we do not. Do you remember the feeling? Maybe you were in your 20s. Do you remember the sense that life went on forever and that nothing bad could happen to you? There may have been a feeling then that something wonderful was about to happen to you, and you waited. But then it did not happen. After a young lifetime of awakenings, here was another wonderful awakening about to happen. It would be better than all the rest. But it did not happen. And then there were no more great awakenings. I know from your eyes that it did not happen. You contented yourself with what you had, but it was poor contentment. You worked to improve yourself. You said to yourself, "Is this all? Is there nothing more?" It is the same everywhere you look. It is in all the eyes you see. You see only the finite, the process,
the great weight of living. There is bewilderment and disappointment. The awakening did not occur. And so we are so much less than we are. Something that should have happened did not happen. I believe it is because we did not allow it. It did not happen to me, my friend, but now I must try to allow it. That's all I know. I believe there is something in what we learn, in the way that we learn, that prevents our awakening. And so I will unlearn. I am thinking now that maybe the sum of our experiences that we have together to become these poor selves, I am thinking now, maybe they only subtract from a greater possibility. What remains is the sum of ourselves. There is a great deal to unlearn. So I want you to take this small statue, my friend. It is very old and very beautiful. It has a remarkable history, but I'm not going to tell it to you because I do not want you to think that you know the history and therefore you know the statue. The history is the part we will throw away. It is not the name of the person who made it that is important, nor the place, nor the time that it was made, not the prices that were paid for it, or the names of the people who have owned it. If you wish to know the beauty and passion it contains, you must receive it directly from the statue. Do you see it? It is there. Do you see?
Well, folks, I was hoping to find some point of clarity. Maybe at least we could run across a park bench and sit for a moment. Now, we have recently learned that crows are self-aware. Now, it would be great to understand that. But instead, we waste our time and attention monitoring the changes to our own inventions like fashions, popularity, and stock prices. We seem to have been lost in a blur of knowledge. But now, we have 20/20 vision. Welcome to the post-information age.
So thank you to the debate fly that whispered sweet nothings to that emotionless tree trunk. You tried your best and thankfully brought 2 minutes of uplifting absurdity to an otherwise tragic setting. A special thank you to the Yellow Cab Tavern for hosting the IRL version of Roadside Attraction, and to Tara Moore and Sarah Gomes. See Tara and Sarah for beer and pretzels. Do so frequently. And come in for Showcase Thursdays. It's a singer-songwriter listening room hosted by Windsor Knox. And let me tell you, Sarah rocks the house this week. Windsor is also our musical director, stage manager, sound tech, and general dog's body at Roadside Attraction. Our featured performer today was Marcia Cornwell. We heard from Minnie Bingo, a.k.a. Matt Bianski, Brian Baumgartner, the aforementioned Marcia Cornwell, along with Don Weinegar and Sue Miller. Mark Jeffers was our guide and host and leader. Scott Milsop wrote, produced, and directed Roadside Attraction. He was also Demi Jean, and then he sent a message from Midway. Brandon Berry co-wrote and co-produced the show, and he's the producer of the video version. Bill Mooney brought poetry. We work with ideas here, and we encourage you to hit the back button on the podcast player to rehear some of it. It's worth it, and hey, you're not in that much of a hurry to get on to the next little thing. Also, Zoe's here. Hi, Zoe. Al Stone is our great friend, collaborator, guiding light, and inspiration. His passing this week doesn't change any of that. We've also lost a canine companion this week, Pogo. Now the Pogo voice is loose in the cosmos. You've been warned. At the Rainbow Bridge. I'm Molly Millsop, the voice of the 2,000-pound groundhog. Roadside Attraction is an AHA production.
That's it, everybody. Thanks for coming out.
What?
What? Say what? FC Cincinnati has a game over there in the under the carport. It should be starting right now if you're a soccer fan. But otherwise, yeah, the bar's open for a little while longer, so hang out and have fun. Thank you.